Say the word of God, the anointed word, is setting me free. Turn to your neighbor. Smile at them like you love them. Hallelujah. Tell them, say the anointed word, which I will receive today, is setting me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we are continuing our message from last week. Last week, the title was the same title, Be Filled with the Spirit. And we may have like 3 or 4 sessions on this, just like we did with faith. Very important. You see, because the food of your spirit, yeah, is the word. Hallelujah. The food. What God used to feed your spirit is his word. When the word of God enters your spirit will begin to grow stronger. Now, when the word of God does not enter your spirit, your mind may be full of the word of God like professors of theology, but when it's not in your spirit, you are spiritually weak or even spiritually dead. But as the word of God comes in, your spirit will begin to grow. Hallelujah. Because the word of God is the food of the spirit. Amen. Now, at the same time, the spirit of God. Now, there are some Christians that all they know about is the word of God. They go to church, they listen to someone, they go back home. They thank God for his word. Yeah? But it's a bigger plan that God has for you, which is that you be filled. Everybody say, be filled with his spirit. I always try to explain to myself, I say, you know what? There is nothing God ever told you to do that God expects you to do in your power. Hallelujah? Bible says, the one that works in us, both to will and to do. Everything God tells you to do is the one that will empower you to do it. What he just wants is your cooperation. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And that's why if you do something just in your power and you offer it to God, it's not, it's rubbish to God. Bible says that all our personal righteousness is like filthy rags to God. But when you receive his grace and you obey what he's telling you to do using his grace, then it's an acceptable offering. Hallelujah. And the power that God has provided for you is to be filled with his spirit. Now, the spirit of God is spiritual water. Say, the spirit of God is the true drink that I need. Hallelujah. Let's open to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And look at verse 37 to verse 39. So, I'd like someone to read, whoever is ready. John chapter 7, verse 37 to verse 39. Yes, we would like to go first today. The title of today's sermon again is Be Filled with the Spirit, part 2. Okay, Sister Frida. John chapter 7, verse 37 to verse 39.
On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Hallelujah. You see, when you read that place, you find out, let me ask you a question. If you want to be filled, no, let me ask you this way. How many of you desire to be filled with the Spirit of God? To be filled. Okay, let me ask another question. What is the difference between having the Spirit of God and being filled with the Spirit of God? Let's start from there. So again, get the question. What is the difference between having the Spirit of God in you and being filled with the Spirit of God? Or are they the same thing? Yes, let's have 2-3 answers. Sister PJ. The difference between having the Spirit of God in you and being filled with the Spirit of God.
Having the Spirit of God, when you give your life to Christ, automatically then you have the Spirit of God abiding in you. Then being filled with the Spirit is when you have the consecration of the Holy Spirit, where you can like speak in tongues and things like that.
Thank you very much. That's a good answer. It's a good answer. So let's set it once and for all. If you are born again, yeah, you are born of the Spirit of God. Wait, let me explain this way. When you invite Jesus into your heart and you say, Jesus, I believe in you. You died on the cross for my sins. I'm a sinner. And I know that I cannot save myself. There's no much sacrifice you can pay for your sins. Whether your sins past or your sins present or your sins future. You can't pay the price. You can try to make up, but you cannot negate what you've done. Yeah? But Jesus, the sinless one, he went to the cross and he gave his life for you. He took your sin and he gave you his righteousness. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, he took my sin. Okay, let's see. He took my sins and gave me his righteousness. When you invite him into your heart, he doesn't come alone. Are you with me? Because he said that I and my Father, we are what? One. Bible says that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are one. So when Jesus comes in, what else comes in? The Spirit of God. In fact, actually, the way Jesus lives in your heart is through his Spirit. Hallelujah. Because we also know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But his Spirit is in you. So when you are born again, you are born of the Spirit. Because the Bible says, he that is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. When you are born normally, naturally, you are born physical. That's physical life. Hallelujah. But when you receive Jesus, your spirit that was dead. You had a spirit, but it was in spiritual darkness. When you receive Jesus, light comes in. Love comes in. Hallelujah. The Spirit comes in. You are born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. But there is a difference between being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. And it's just a simple physical illustration. You can have something, but not be full of it. Are you with me? You can have something, but not be full of it. I don't understand. Okay, for example, if you go to a restaurant, and so I'm new at this restaurant, I just want to see how things are like. Then they serve you a sample. Okay, maybe it doesn't work that way. Nobody's responding. Let's say, you're going on your business in town, you know, window shopping about. Then you have this shop, they're trying to get you to come in. So then they have this open store on the way with samples. And say, just come and taste, yeah? No strings attached. Are you with me? Now, when you receive that small little piece of, what did you call it? Is it candy or what? Sorry? Say that again.
Pretzel.
Yes. When you take that little bit into you, you have it in you. Are you with me? At least temporarily. But yeah, that doesn't mean you are full of it. Are you with me? So you, as a Christian, you have the Spirit. But you have it only because you've made that commitment to Jesus. If you've not, if you are still coming to church, you don't have the Spirit. It's not automatic. You cannot be born again by mistake. You talk to your neighbor. Tell them. Say, it is impossible. Please tell them. Say, it is impossible to be born again by mistake. Not possible. This is a matter of life and death. You are born again by a conscious action of your will. And if you've never made that conscious action, you need to make it, because you can't be born again by association or by coming to church. You make that chance and say, Jesus, come in. Be my Lord and Savior forever. I hand over my life to you. Hallelujah. That's the perfect trust in God. Hallelujah. That's the perfect trust in God. Hallelujah. But when you're born again, you need to move to the next level, which is you feed on the Word of God and you also drink. Somebody say drink of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let me explain something to you. When you are full of something, it dominates you. When you are full of something, it does what? For example, when you are full of food, you've eaten to the full and to the overflowing. What happens to you? Yes? Let me look for the most quiet person here today. Samuel, when you are very hungry, like really in the mood for eating, and you see that food and you just eat and eat and eat, you are full, you keep eating. Then what happens to you? After it all, what happens?
You feel tired and sleep.
Sorry?
You feel tired and sleep.
You know what? You feel tired and drowsy. And you just sleep. God help you. They're at work. Night shift. And it's lunch, break time. And you overload. What will happen, brother? It's on night shift. And you just overload. What will happen to the rest of the shift?
You'll be tired.
You'll be tired.
You're going to be struggle.
Hallelujah. Anytime you are full of something, whatever it is, it begins to control you. Hallelujah. It begins to what? Control you. So that's what the Bible is saying there. When the Bible says be filled with the Spirit, it means that come to that point where your life is under the dominion of this Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something different. Because last week we talked about three types of spirits that can dominate you. Someone remind me, what are the three spirits that can dominate you? Because the Bible says be filled with the Spirit. But we asked ourselves last week, which spirit is the Bible telling you to be filled with? Or another way, what three types of spirits can dominate Christians as we see it in this world? It may not be perfect, but it happens. Yeah? Yes? Who was here? Who was here last week? Sister Pamela. What are the three spirits that can dominate a believer?
Demons.
Sorry?
Demons?
Yes. Or demons. Evil spirit?
Yeah.
It should not happen, like I said. It should not. It is illegal. Okay? Just like breaking the speed limit is what? Illegal. But it happens. It should not happen. Yeah? But it happens. Demons can dominate Christians. Yeah? If they yield to them. Or if they open the door. I tell you something about devil. Devil does not need an IV card. Hello? Are you listening? Because the Bible says he's a what? He's a thief. Does a thief need an IV card? No. If he sees half a door open, he will what? He will enter and bring some other people. Okay? So demons, yes?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit can dominate Christians, and that's the ideal thing. Yes? And what else?
And alcohol.
Alcohol is a spirit. Literally speaking. Are you with me? You know, like if you take alcoholic wine, and if you take alcoholic wine, the first thing you need to check on the bottle. I don't plan to ever. But first thing to check on the bottle of alcoholic wine is what? What do you check? Someone who has not spoken. Lisa, if there's an alcoholic wine, yeah? Or if you want to know whether a wine is alcoholic or not, what do you do to the bottle?
Check the percentage.
The percentage what?
Of alcohol.
Volume, yeah. Let me tell you what that percentage is. The percentage is the percentage of spirit. Are you listening to me? It is the percentage of spirit in that drink. Okay, another name for the spirit is ethanol. The percentage of the spirit is the percentage volume. Of course, the one that has a higher percentage has a stronger power. Are you with me? Now, when the Bible says be filled with the Spirit, what it's telling you is that you have just one mission as a believer. You don't have any mission to be filled with alcohol. You don't have any business with alcohol. You don't have any mission to be filled with demons. You should not open the door to them. You are only to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just pause here because I think the Holy Spirit wants me to pause here and explain to you how demons operate. It's good to know. You know, sometimes when you are in the Western world like this, sometimes you may be tempted to believe that demons don't exist. Someone said that, you know, demons in the UK, they wear suit and tie. Yeah. they are civilized demons, but they are still demons. They operate. Yeah? Let me tell you how demons operate. This is how it works. Anytime as a believer, or anybody. Demons can dominate anybody. In fact, demons will dominate unbelievers more anyway. Anytime you're a believer, that you walk away from the word of God, what the word of God tells you to do, and you continue to do contrary, yeah? You are opening the door for demons. Now, that doesn't mean they come immediately. They are monitoring you. They are observing you. At a stage, they will come near and say, this thing you're doing, we can help you do it better. We are professionals. I know it's laughing, but that's exactly what happens. When you step away from the word of God and begin to do your own thing, you think you're having fun and enjoying yourself, the demons are watching. Yeah? At this stage, they will move closer to you. They won't come in. When they come, the first thing they do is they whisper to your ears. They teach you a technique to do it better. You know why? They've been practicing it for 6,000 years. And as you continue to yield to them, they will continue to dominate you more. Until a point, they will enter. But they won't enter your spirit. They may enter your body or your mind. Yeah? At that point, they don't even suggest to you. They force you. The devil is not a gentleman. You understand? Demons try to force you to do their will. But that's what the Holy Spirit will never do. Hallelujah. When we talk about being full of the Spirit, we're not saying the Holy Spirit forces you. The Holy Spirit has never forced me to do anything. He will continue to suggest forever. He will never force you. That's why if you want to be full of the Spirit, there's a fundamental word you need. And that word is called yielding. Say to your neighbor, say yield. Because the Holy Spirit will never force you. Demons can and will if you give them room. When they want to enter, they suggest. You know, they act like your friend. But when they come in, they force. The Holy Spirit does not force you. He will continue to prompt you forever. Forever, he will prompt you. Can you do? As you yield, his power then dominates you and makes it easy to do what you thought was difficult to do. Hallelujah. You see, in your spirit, you want to do the will of God. But you have an enemy that you carry about called your flesh. Your flesh is not just your physical body. Your flesh is a combination of your physical body and your old way of thinking. Yeah? They come to counteract what the Spirit says. So the warfare is between the Spirit and what? The flesh. The flesh has desires. The flesh has what? Desires. And the Spirit has desires. Most of the time, the desires of the flesh are contrary to that of the Spirit. Open to Galatians chapter 5. We did that last week. Let's just recall. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Yes, let someone else who has not read today or spoken today read. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Yes, anyone ready? Galatians 5:17. Yes, Sister Runke. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17.
The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions.
Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17. He said the Spirit, yeah, it wars against the flesh. And the flesh wars against the Spirit. And so although in your own human spirit, you will to do the will of God. I know that. But if I don't know, I know that you want to do the will of God. I can see it in your body language. Hallelujah. You want to. Now, there are some Christians that don't want to do the will of God. Yeah? They are in an advanced stage of being dominated by the flesh. But if you are in the normal stage, you want to do the will of God. But the flesh, with its weakness, tries to pull you not to. Because if the flesh, for example, doesn't want to pray. Did you know that? Have you noticed? The flesh doesn't want to what? There are some things I can guarantee that the flesh never likes to do. He doesn't like to pray. He doesn't like to fast. He doesn't. You know what the flesh wants to do? Well, I didn't answer the question before. What does the flesh like to do?
To enjoy.
To what? To what? To enjoy. That's it, simple. All the flesh wants to do is what? Enjoy. Relax. Party. Do nothing. And have everything. Hallelujah. That's the flesh. So if you're going to give in to the desires of your flesh, I guarantee you, you can make no spiritual progress. But you don't understand the problem. The problem is that if you don't make spiritual progress, you will never fulfill the assignment God sent you to this world to come and do. You need to understand that. You see, that's why it's very important that you understand that you did not evolve. You were created. You see, if you evolved, you don't have any assignment. You are a product of chance. And you are going nowhere. Do you understand? But if you were created by God, then it means that your life has a purpose. But it's much more than that. It's not the purpose you choose for yourself. Are you listening to me? It's not the purpose. The purpose of your life is not what you chose for yourself. The purpose of your life is that when God made you, or let me say it this way, when God permitted you to be made, because I remind you that there are many babies that were not permitted to live. You understand? Okay, let's leave that. Even in the baby making process, there are many babies that don't succeed in becoming beings. I don't know if you get the biology of what I'm trying to say. There are a million, yeah, things wanting to become a baby. Only one of them makes it. And that's sometimes, not all the time. Are you with me? So that means God permitted your being. It doesn't matter the process, whether it was a perfect or imperfect process. God permitted your being. Otherwise, you will not be. Are you with me? Now, when God permitted your being, He had an assignment for you in mind. Hallelujah. Now, if you are dominated by the flesh, you will never fulfill the assignment that God gave for your life. It means that at the end of your life, it doesn't matter whether they raised up 10 statues to your name. When you face God, report card is what? Zero. Hallelujah. Very important that you know that God sent you this word and He has a plan for your life. And there's only one way you can discover God's plan for your life. By yielding to the Spirit of God. You know why? Because it's the Spirit of God that unveils the plan of God for your life. Are you with me? As you walk with the Spirit, it will begin to guide you in the direction of the plan. Everybody say to yourself, say there's a plan. No, you didn't say that. Say there's a plan. Say God has a plan for my life. I am not a product of chance. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit never forces you. You have to yield. Hallelujah. You see, when people are full of demons, the demons force them. When people are full of alcohol, the alcohol what? Forces them. And I tell you something, alcohol never forces somebody to do good. Never. It has never happened. The alcohol will force you to do good. Never happened. Let's go to Proverbs 31. Verse 4 to 7. Someone read for me verse 4 to 7. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4 to 7. Yes. Sister. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4 to 7.
It is not for kings or Lemuel to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol, for if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed.
Hallelujah. Verse 6 and 7.
Alcohol is for the dying, and wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more.
Amen. I want to ask you one question. How many of you in this church today are dying? Nobody. You're dying. You will not die, but you will live. You will not what? Die. But what? You will live to declare the good works of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Now, the truth of the matter is that you're not dying. But sometimes the devil may come to you and because of, you know, what is going on in your life, you know, try to push you, he's a forceful person, into a state of despair. And you feel that your life is not worth it. Yeah? But it's a lie of the devil. Because the devil is the father of lies. Don't believe him! I want to even say something to you by the Spirit of God. Anything that the devil tells you is a lie. Even if it sounds good. Let me say that again. If the devil invites you to dine with him, yeah, there's only one agenda. And it is to deceive you and steal from you. Are you listening to me? The devil has no truth. No truth in him. That's why in the beginning he came to Adam and Eve. He told Eve, he said, did God say that, you know, you shouldn't eat? He said, Eve said, no, God did not say we shouldn't, God said, yes, he said, God said that you shouldn't touch. He said, no, God did not say we shouldn't touch. He said, we shouldn't eat. Because the day we eat of it, we will die. Then what did he say next? He said, you will not surely die. Or you will not really die. It was a half-truth. Are you with me? Stop dining with the devil. Don't your neighbor tell them, say, stop dining with the devil. He said, alcohol is for the dying and wine for those in bitter distress. Okay, let me interpret it in a better way. The only spiritually legitimate use of alcohol is as an anesthetic. Anesthetic. You know, like someone needs an operation. They need to be what? Put to sleep. Let me tell you why. The reason is because alcohol itself is essentially a drug. The job of alcohol, I'm talking of spirit. Yeah? So what you need to do is that if you like wine, go to an engineer, not a normal engineer, a wine engineer. Make sure they remove all the spirit from the wine. Then you can have the wine. You with me? Because the wine is the fruit of the vine. You can have that, but not the spirit. Because that spirit is a drug. His job is to control you. Why he works is, when you take alcohol, it dulls your mind. It numbs your body. That's why you feel relaxed. Hello? Are you with me? Alcohol is a drug that dulls your mind and numbs your body. You feel what? Relaxed. Like no care in the world. It's a level of intoxication. I know it's minimum. And then as you continue to top up, it will, what? Continue to what? Intoxicate you more and more until you lose total control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Alcohol is a spirit. Its goal is to control your life. And the goal of alcohol in all cases is never to make you do the will of God. I have never seen a case where alcohol made somebody do the will of God. Alcohol will make you yield more and more to your flesh, and it will make you alcohol always makes it easier for you to sin. Always. And that's why the Bible says it is not for kings, yeah, to guzzle wine. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's non-alcoholic wine. And there are some wines that are alcohol removed. But alcohol is what? A spirit. And I guarantee you, that is not the spirit you are called to be filled with. Because you will struggle more to do the will of God when you are under the influence of alcohol. Hallelujah. Now, let me just summarize that point and say, alcohol in all cases, alcohol indulgence, what it does to you is that it reduces your spiritual thirst. and it compromises your spiritual consecration. Because you have something else that can pamper you. You see, if you want to be filled of the Spirit, there's one fundamental condition you need to have. You have to be thirsty. If something else is quenching that thirst, you are not going to reach out for the fullness. Hallelujah. Because you have something else you can use to shock, as a shock absorber. Hallelujah. Are you with me? But if you abstain from that shock absorber, you will be hungry for more of God. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, you know, that water he wants to give you is living water. Say, just say, living water. You know what living water is? Water that helps you to deal with all the problems of life. Hallelujah. Go back to John 7. Let's look at it. And then, before John 7, go to Ephesians 5:18. And then we'll finish up in John 7. And then I'll try to run up. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Let's look at what the Bible says there. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Is it like a man of God was preaching? He said, strive not to be addicted to anything. Because anything you're addicted to will compromise, it will stop your faith from working. Because anything you're addicted to becomes a false god, an idol in your life. But when you are free from addiction, your faith is free to run. Hallelujah. Sometimes the reason why your faith is not working is those things that you're holding on to. Sometimes the reason why your spiritual progress is capped, 5 years you're in church, you are still on the same level, is because of those indulgences you are having in the background. They compromise your progress. Everybody may still look at you like a spiritual person, but you can't go beyond the level because your consecration is poor. But as you increase your consecration, so also you will increase in your heights spiritually. If you want to go further with God, you got to embrace more abstinence than indulgence. Abstinence helps you to move forward spiritually. Indulgence takes you down. Let's say that again. Say abstinence helps you to move forward spiritually and fulfill your destiny. Indulgence of any kind takes you down. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are legitimate things you can enjoy in life. You know? Hallelujah. Where was we? Where were we? Ephesians 5:18. Yes, someone read Ephesians 5:18. Samuel.
And be not drunk with wine.
And be not drunk with wine.
Wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit.
You know, thank you. Let me explain that to you so you understand it. Because when you read that, you don't do most of it, you may not understand what the Bible is saying there. What the Bible is saying is this. Alcohol is false wine. False. It's not the type you should be seeking at all. If you have a desire to go to the next level spiritually. If you don't, okay. If you have a desire to be a king with God. By the way, he has already made us kings and priests. Amen? If you have that desire to take your place as a king, alcohol is not part of the business. You know why? Because it will compromise your desire to be filled with the Spirit. Understand what I'm trying to say? Like we said last week. And nobody ever drank alcohol, even a glass or two glass of wine, and then wanted to pray hard after. You know? Wanted to pray for 3 hours. No! Because the flesh is satisfied. All they want to do next is sleep. Or go and do more evil. You know? Are you with me? So, Bible is saying, do not crave for alcohol. That's false wine. That's not what God wants for you as a believer. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That, let me explain to you so you understand. It's not so much about alcohol. I'm only talking about alcohol because of how it hinders you spiritually. What the Bible is saying is that you will struggle to do the will of God if you are not filled with the Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, that's why you see some people, yeah? Like Pastor Ben, yeah? You think, what's wrong with this person? Yeah, why is he always passionate about God? You know, it's because of the Spirit. I'm under the influence of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm under what? The influence of the Spirit. So I cannot do what I cannot do normally myself. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit, who I'm yielding to, the Holy Spirit, of course, is empowering me. Hallelujah. To do that which was impossible normally. Hallelujah. And you know what thing about when you are filled with Spirit as compared to alcohol? When you are filled with Spirit, you are always going to do right. Talk to your neighbor, smile at them, smile at them. Reduce all the tension. I don't know, some of them have traveled to Birmingham. Tell them, say, when you are filled with the Spirit, you will always want to do right. Let's prove it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Today's message, I just left my script completely. But it's okay. So my prayer always, I don't want to preach letter. I want to preach Spirit. The Spirit gives life. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. Yes, let's have it from one or two versions. Galatians 5 22. Yes, who is ready? Okay, Sister Amanda. Galatians 5 22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is
love. Fruit! The fruit of the Spirit, yes?
Is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith.
Yes?
Okay.
There's no law, is it not? Is that where it ends?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Let's have it from New Living Translation, Galatians. Okay, yeah, we can have it two other versions. But I want New Living Translation as the last one. Let's have Fernando first. Galatians 5:22 and 23, I think. Yeah. 23. Yes, go on.
He says,
I see. 23, yeah.
He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against there is no law.
Against such, what? There is no law. Now, let's have it from New Living Translation. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Please follow this one very gently. Yes, go on.
But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit.
But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. That means when you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, yeah, you find it difficult to be selfish. Understand what I'm trying to explain to you. The flesh is naturally selfish. Naturally. You don't have to teach any child to be selfish. As they are growing up, they will what? You know, the first thing I noticed it was when, you know, my first son, you know, I don't know what his age was, maybe 3 or 4, you know, and when you just have that first child, you consider everything on that child, yes? And then, for the first time he received a visitor in the house, a child of his age. And then, suddenly, all his toys that were abandoned in the corners and behind the stage, every single toy became important. The child picks up this, no, he takes it back. The child picks up this, no, he takes it back. He's not, I was dazed, but that's the reality. Hallelujah. You don't teach anybody to be selfish. But when you are dominated by the Spirit, when you are under the influence of the Spirit, yeah, you will be able to produce fruit of righteousness. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit is controlling you, your life will be full of love and joy and peace. Anybody like peace? I personally believe that what people are looking for most in this life is love and joy and peace. I believe it. That's why some people take drugs. I mean, alcohol is a drug, but there's some other terrible drug. I was reading on the news the other day. There's a drug in the market, terrible, big, wicked drug called Black Mamba. Black Mamba cannabis. It's a terrible drug. You know, and there's this man in the news. He took this drug and he cut off his nose. He was so happy. He was so under the influence. It's an illegal drug. It was legal and they made it illegal. Drugs can only ruin your life. Any drug. I'm not talking of medicine. You understand? Medicine is good drug. Medicine is what? Good drug. But I'm talking of hard drugs. Are you with me? But the Holy Spirit. But why do they take it? Have you ever asked yourself, why do people take hard drugs? Where's my mic? Why do people take hard drugs at all? Even when they know that there's a risk of injury to the mind or body. Why do they take hard drugs? Yes?
I think, first of all, they want to be accepted
so there's
in,
a soci-
in society.
Yes, social reason.
Yeah, and social then reason. They want to feel good.
Oh, yeah, now you're hitting the point. Forget the acceptance. You're what? They want to what? Feel good. Are you listening to me? God is not against your feeling good. But he wants to feel good in a way that will not destroy your life. The fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit controls you, it will be dominated by love, joy. People will annoy you as they normally do. Till kingdom come. But you will find it easier to forgive them. The reason why I forgive, I tell you the truth, is not because of people. I may still think about what they did and it still annoys me. But I forgive them because of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I don't want to lose my relationship with him. It's of a bigger value than them. So I forgive them because of him. And I will still love them. Not because of them, but because of him. Hallelujah. I'm answering to him. I'm responsible to him. And I'm being controlled by him. Hallelujah. And I find out when I forgive people, my joy returns. My peace returns. Imagine to walk through life and you have nothing to be afraid of. Hallelujah. Even when let's assume that there's an investigation going on, criminal investigation of everybody. But you just have nothing to be afraid of. The Bible said the righteous, they are as bold as a lion. There's nothing. Just love and joy and peace. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. So what the Bible is saying is that what God wants you to do is to be full of the Spirit. It's not enough to have received the Spirit when you were born again. You have to, because even when you receive the Spirit, you can still be full of those other spirits. You have to be full of the Spirit. Now, I'll close this message by showing you the keys to being full of the Spirit. Then we'll continue next time. John 7, let's show you the keys of being full. And then we finish there today and continue next time. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. I will read it this time because I've made you read it maybe once or twice. John chapter 7. Open your Bible to John chapter 7. I'm telling you that you can never begin to enjoy your Christian life until you become more and more full of the Spirit. That's when you will enjoy. Yeah, brother, you remember? They take it because they want to what? Enjoy. That's the same reason why you have to be full of the Spirit. When you are full of the Spirit, you will enjoy God. You what? Enjoy God. Hallelujah. You will enjoy God. And you will feel good inside. Hallelujah. See, every time I do the will of God, I feel good. Even if it empties my pocket. Yeah? Imagine you have that £20. You know, I didn't know that that's the last cash in your account. And your next pay is a week's time. So, unfortunately, you put this £20 in your pocket when you were going out. I said unfortunately, yeah? Because as you were going out and walking by Tesco, the Holy Spirit just prompted you like a tickle. Look, that person has gone without food for 3 days. Give him the £20. Ah, I wish I didn't put this £20 in my pocket. Hallelujah. You struggle because the flesh doesn't want to do it. But when you do it, now you lost £20, yeah? But peace of God that passes all understanding will dominate your heart. But that's not the only point. Of course, because God is faithful. Think about this way. If God could prompt you to give £20, God can prompt someone else to give you £100. Hallelujah. So don't, because of a £20 sacrifice, lose a £100 blessing. Hallelujah. Because God is faithful. Say to us, say, God is faithful. Let's say that again. Say, God is faithful. If you can believe that, if you can really believe that, Sister Luki wants to pause my message. Okay, stop the timer. Stop the timer now.
So, yeah, hearing say that, when I moved to where
Yeah, when I was in Wales, we moved to this new house. There was no curtains, so I have to buy curtains. So I withdrew just £50 to buy something, including the poles and everything. And I was thinking, oh God, I want this curtain, but I don't have money. If I buy this one, it's £30. Then I'll be left with £20. So I took whatever I needed. I put it in the till. And then the lady said, oh, it's £12. And I said, what? £12. I said, how come it's £12? Because the curtain is about £30. He said, no, it's £1.
What?
£1. I bought a nice curtain for £1. Wow. So
hallelujah. You see how God works? Hallelujah. You know, that's why I understood something that is all the riches of the world. Who provided them? Think about it. Even your new mobile phone, your brand new clothes, all those things you wear. Do you know where they came from? Let me tell you a secret. Everything good in this life came from that big ball of mud. God, you have everything, including the food you eat. Everything, your glasses, your jewelry, your jewelry. You know where your jewelry comes from? Inside the mud. Even your body, where did it come from? So, what is difficult for God? And for 6,000 years, this same big ball of mud called earth has been supplying us all these goodies, including the nuclear weapons, all the ingredients from this big ball called mud. So God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything that you ask or think. If you can only believe that God is faithful. If you can believe that God is faithful. That he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will never let you down. Then you can turn your focus to him and him alone. Knowing that everything you ever needed is in God. Hallelujah. Everything. It's because you're not using your faith in him. You say you trust him, but you don't trust him. Because if you trust him, you will know that he is faithful. Hallelujah. And you will hold on tightly to his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, I will hold on tightly to his faithfulness because he is faithful. God has no right to demand from you to have faith if he was not faithful. That's why God's word is forever settled. That's why you can have faith in God, because he said, I will not change. I am the Lord. I change not. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. Okay, we are rounding up now. John 7. So, I'll 7 and then round up there. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. It said, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowd, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, which will be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Now, since then, we know that Jesus has entered into his glory. We know that the Spirit came down on Pentecost. We know disciples were filled and they spoke. Hallelujah. We know after that Peter went and met the man at the beautiful gate who was lame and, you know, raised him up, and he was walking and leaping and praising the Lord. So the Spirit has come. Say to yourself, say the Spirit is here. So you don't need to ask the Holy Spirit to come. He's here. You just need to acknowledge him. Say, our Father, send your Spirit from heaven. No, he is where? Here. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand, but the Spirit is where? Here. So what you need to say, Father, thank you because your Spirit is here. Hallelujah. So final, in rounding up, three questions. We are looking at how to be filled with the Spirit. What is the fundamental, and you now understand why I took you to the journey of alcohol. What is the fundamental condition of being filled with the Spirit? From John chapter 7. Look at John chapter 7. It's there. In John chapter 7, the answer is in verse 37. Someone who has not spoken today. John chapter 7, verse 37 gives us the fundamental condition for being filled with the Spirit. Yes, Sister Pamela too. Sorry, say that again. Yeah, say it again.
You need to be thirsty.
Yeah, thank you. You need to be what? That's the fundamental condition. You know, I told you the Holy Spirit is not a forceful. The Holy Spirit will not feel you if you don't want him to what? To feel you. You may be coming to church, but you don't want the Holy Spirit to feel you. Okay. He will not disturb you. Because God will not force you. That's the way God works. You have to be testy. He said, anyone who is testy may come. Are you understanding me? Now, when your spiritual faith is compromised, yeah? It doesn't matter what else you do. You will not. And let me just explain. Being filled with the Spirit is not a one-off thing. It's a the command there actually says, be continuously filled. Can we repeat that? Say what? Be continuously filled. Let me explain. Because when let's assume that you are filled with the Spirit today. Yeah? I prayed with you, prayed for you after you said, and you just filled with the Spirit, spoke in tongues for 1 hour, prophesied for 1 hour, you know, cast out demons for 1 hour, or whatever. Yeah? And you're happy. Yeah? Then you go back to Mortimer. Huh? As you get home, you just find out that somebody has mistakenly turned your baby bed upside down. And you're like, who is this bad person that did this? What happened to this feeling? It will just drain. Hallelujah. It's gone what? Low. Hallelujah. It will drain. And you need to be what? Refilled. You with me? Because as you go through life, things drain us. Hello? Are you with me? And those things that drain us include our own weaknesses and our own indulgences. They drain us of the Spirit. That's why I explained to you that you may be speaking in tongues and not be full of the Spirit. Because you were filled once, but you have to stay filled. And the fundamental condition is that you must be continuously thirsty for more of the Spirit of God. Teacher says, say, I will be continuously thirsty for more of the Spirit of God. If you stay thirsty, you will be filled. You know, I'll cut the message now because that's not all the condition. Let's cut it now. The Holy Spirit just dropped me a scripture. I want to show you something. We'll cut it. We'll continue this, but there are other conditions, but that's the first condition we continue. But I want to show you something that we missed. Let's go to Matthew 5. Let's finish on Matthew 5. Something that links. Then we stop there. I just stop there. I found a way to stop my messages now. Just do part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5, part this, part 7. Then that way I can stop. The problem with stopping before was I wanted to finish everything in one day. Yeah. Matthew chapter 5. Are you with me? Verse 6. Who is that wonderful person that will read this last verse? Sister Pamela. 1. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Look at it. Please, everybody open your Bible so you know that's the word of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Wait, just wait. Let everybody get there. Are you there? Pastor Jim, are you there? Oh, you're feeding the baby. Anybody? You're all there? Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Let's do that.
Blessed are those who hunger and
thirst. Blessed are those who hunger
and thirst.
And thirst.
For righteousness.
For righteousness.
For they will be filled.
For what?
They will be filled.
They will be filled. Now that's not the plan. The Holy Spirit just dropped that one. Hallelujah. If you maintain a state of spiritual hunger and thirst, you are guaranteed to be filled. When your spiritual hunger and thirst is compromised by your indulgences, you are guaranteed not to be filled. Because those indulgences will drain whatever you have. Let us pray.